From the Tin Lounge Lounge on North Central Avenue in Indianapolis, it's The Basic Talk Show with Charlie Adams. Today, Charlie Adams speaks with local art students who are the band Tin Lounge on The Basic Talk Show.
Welcome to the show. We're visiting in the home of Matt Summers and Jeff McClellan, along with Jeffrey Sample and Lon Paul Elrich, all members of Tin Lounge, rock band. Is it okay to say rock?
Sure.
Sure.
Band here in Indianapolis. Thanks for having us in and sitting down and talking.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I started to, but
you guys have been playing together for about a year or so, playing in clubs and bars around Indianapolis area. But first, I wanted to mention that you're all art students. And I think that's unique to most bands here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm a painter, and Matt's a painter.
I'm a painter and part-time sculptor. I've been working a lot with ceramics and things like that. And Paul's a jewelry maker.
And an experimental musician.
As far as that goes, I do a lot of work with ties.
He goes out and buys bags full of ties, cheap ties for $2, and hangs them all over his wall.
Currently,
so I guess
really
he's an interior decorator.
How did it come about? You're studying art, visual arts at Heron. How did it come about that you got together and started playing music?
Well, these days, you know, art is a pretty general term, and a lot of it's just a form of expression mainly. And we find that, you know, being interested in music has a lot of common ground with being interested in art as far as expressing yourself and creativity. And a lot of today's, you know, through like videos and just music and art in general are really closely related. So, you know, it was easy to make the transition from music to art or art to music.
Visual art to music. It's basically just trying to find a concept, you know, some issue that you want to address, and to have it take the form of music is a lot more powerful to me than just to put it down on paper as a visual form. It's just stronger, you know.
I would think most people who are studying art wouldn't have the time to do both. How do you guys...
Don't.
You don't.
Well... They actually help each other. If I get started on a painting, it just kind of gets the creative juices flowing, and you just want to keep creating. You just become a powerhouse, and it just starts to snowball after a while. And it actually forces you to be more creative, and it just, you know, they really work together.
So the two actually play right off of each other directly.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the whole idea, with art and music, the interplay and the ideas that, you know, when you may hear a song that you like and it brings to mind certain visuals, whether it's an experience or just something new, you know, inside your head, and you can, you know, the same way with a painting might bring certain kind of music to life, and, you know, it's interesting to play around with that.
And also the environment we live in at Heron is really conducive to expressing through music, because there's a lot of people around who are ready to listen to it.
Right.
There's lots of fertile ideas.
You get a lot of feedback and a lot of really positive feedback.
The reception's incredible.
Right. I feel really fortunate that we were able to start this project within an art community, because the people there are totally uninhibited. They like any and all original music, and they're ready to listen to it. They're tired of the top 40. They're tired of cover bands or whatever. And there's a certain thing that comes with people telling you that this is great and that's great. It just makes you become maybe bigger than what you are.
Yeah. And Jeff, you mentioned that you don't play top 40 music.
Right.
You guys are known for playing original stuff.
Right.
I would think that would pose some problems in this city, playing around at clubs and bars.
A lot of problems. It definitely did, especially in the beginning. What we did, the first performance that Matt and I did, this is when we had no drummer and no guitar player, and we used a drum machine. We played at a party at Heron. That was our first gig. And then after that, we just decided to take the plunge and put together a demo tape, and we went to the Vogue with it, thinking, you know, that maybe we'd get in on a Monday. They called us a few days later and stuck us in on a Thursday, which was, you know, that really made our day.
That was just the two of you.
It was just the two of us with a drummer.
Well, how did that go? That was your first live appearance.
What happened was we had a lot of Heron Arts students come to see us, and then it dwindled down to maybe 20 out of the 100 that came to see us. And from there on out, we had the same fans throughout the duration of the summer. And, you know, it was almost impossible to pick up a following at that point.
Well, is the following building at all?
Yeah, we have a definite family at everything we play.
Right, it's
a band family.
Yeah.
And lately, since we've been playing more around, you know, the club scene in Broad Ripple and around that area, it's nice to see a lot of people will come to see the band that's following us or the band that's before us or whatever, and they'll like us too, and maybe then the next time we play, they'll come see us. It just kind of, it picks up as we go, and every time we play, there's a lot more people there who are responsive to us.
The fact that we are playing on the weekends at the patio is a really, you know, they've been real good to us,
yeah,
to give us a Friday and a Saturday night spot, you know, at a major club in Indianapolis with all original music.
And
you know, we thank Pat at the patio for listening.
He's really looking out for us. He cares a lot about what we're doing.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to run this into the ground, but I know a couple guys in another band who were working with a guy who was trying to help set them up with a record company and this sort of thing. They were playing a lot of their own music here in the city. One of the first things he told them was, you got to get out of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
This is no place to get rolling.
Yeah,
right.
Because but rent is so cheap.
Rent is cheap.
Yeah, the Midwest is a tough region along the lines of the music industry. It's really...
The way I see it, if we get a good response here, why wouldn't, you know, we could get a good response anywhere.
Yeah, that's basically the way it is. The audiences here are a lot tougher. They're not really... open
say
to
Chicago or New York.
They're very limited in what they listen to as far as like the common
culture. You know, not saying that anyone's closed-minded, it's just that the, you know, the media and everything, the way it reaches them, they get a lot of high impact things that are, you know, right off, you know, the top of the charts and that type of thing, and if they play something that they want to be familiar with, they listen to a lot of that type of thing.
Well, I'm going to go one step further with this. We've got Butler University here, IUPUI, University of Indianapolis, mm-hmm. Heron, Marion College. We have several universities here in the city and usually associate new music and original music being successful in that type of environment.
Hopefully a lot of the, you know, the college age students and stuff can pick up on it, but right now publicity is a hard thing to get, you know, and to get just the word out, because I'm sure if a lot of people would just come see us, you know, and realize, you know, there's a lot of potential there, and, you know, I think they'd really like the music and really enjoy it, because, you know, it comes from a different angle than a lot of stuff does. It's pretty interesting.
I'm speaking with the members of Tin Lounge, Indianapolis band, and we're in the home of Matt Summers and Jeff McClellan, two members of the band, along with them, Lon Paul Elrich and Jeffrey Sample. We were talking before the show about how the songs grow. Jeff is primarily responsible for writing the lyrics.
He'll start off with a melody line and maybe have a few guitar riffs that he likes and have the song, you know, pretty much kind of
basic
a sketch.
Composition.
Yes.
It's a compositional sketch, sort of like a drawing, just a drawing before a painting.
And then
foundation.
He'll present it to us, and I'll put the bass line to it, and, you know, we'll get a drum beat and the whole thing, and a lot of the intricacies will fall into place as the song gets played over and over, you know, through rehearsing and practice.
It's so beautiful when something gets invested with groove, when it's just an idea and then it becomes alive, and it's a moving
It becomes
force.
Completely different with a groove, a
yes.
good groove.
Yeah, it's amazing what we'll start out with, and then when we get everybody together in practice, we'll just go off on a completely different tangent, come off with something just really incredible, mm-hmm. you know, as far as that goes.
So it's sort of a laboratory setting.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly.
That's the joy of it.
It's, right.
It's a workshop. It's really a workshop.
It's just like creating, you know, creating anything. If you bring one part together and then you build on that and build on that.
Right. The ideas just fuel themselves.
Well, we're going to listen to a song that you recorded this past summer. And I know that it's a little different from what you're doing right now.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think it will serve to... to sort of show where you've come from. A little bit later, we'll hear something that you're doing now, and we can see or listen to the evolution that's going on. Okay. Anybody want to preempt this song at all?
I think Jeff probably should on that, since he wrote it.
Well, it's just a little song about...
Tell them the truth.
Okay, it's a lot of my stuff sort of addresses the some of the problems and some of the fantasies, I guess, of a lot of boy and girl relationships. And I guess that's something that a lot of, you know, songwriters do. But I try to take it from a little bit of a different angle. It's just about how a girl comes and sees his boyfriend on the weekends, and they become married, so to speak, only on the weekends, and during the rest of the week they go on about their lives.
Is it fiction?
No, it's from real experience. Some friends of mine. Most everything I write is about other people. Friends.
Okay, well, let's have a listen. This is called
Last Week's Excuses.